Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
What phone is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, they never go home, they never go home, those boys.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
You are often compared to the Williams sisters. Maybe it's because you're black, but I guess it's because you're talented and maybe American too. We could have a final between you and Serena. Is it something you hope for? I mean, 22 years separate you girls. That is an actual question that Coco Gauff was asked at an actual press conference by an actual journalist, and the sort of thing Naomi Osaka is not going to be hearing for the next 2 weeks, ever since Osaka decided last week to skip press conferences at this year's French Open. Hello and welcome to today's Monday afternoon Second Captain's mini-pod. Hello there, Ken.
Hello there, Kieran. How are you?
I'm good. So Osaka is up and running at the French Open. She won her first round game yesterday at Roland Garros. She did her courtside TV interview after the game, but skipped the press conference, for which she got fined €12,300. And there's now talk that on top of those fines, which I presume will continue totting up, she'll face further punishment, including expulsion from Roland Garros and future Grand Slams if she keeps this up. She says she's doing it to protect her mental health when she announced this on Twitter and Instagram last week. So here's the full statement, actually, because there's a bit to get into with this. Hey everyone, hope you're all doing well. I'm writing this to say I'm not going to do any press during Roland Garros. I've often felt that people have no regard for athletes' mental health, and this rings very true whenever I see a press conference or partake in one. We're often sat there and ask questions that we've been asked multiple times before, or ask questions that bring doubt into our minds, and I'm just not going to subject myself to people that doubt me. I've watched many clips of athletes breaking down after a loss in the press room, and I know you have as well. I believe that whole situation is kicking a person while they're down, and I don't understand the reasoning behind it. Me not doing press is nothing personal to the tournament, and a couple of journalists have interviewed me since I was young, so I have a friendly relationship with most of them. However, if the organisations think they can just keep saying do press or you're going to get fined, and continue to ignore the mental health of the athletes that are the centrepiece of their operation, then I just gotta laugh. Anyways, I hope the considerable amount that I get fined for this will go towards a mental health charity. So, what do you make of all this, Ken?
I think it's a really interesting story. What's going on here? I mean, okay, so when I heard this, my initial reaction was, okay, I have actually a lot of sympathy for Naomi Osaka not wanting to speak to journalists, because if I was her, I wouldn't want to do it either. You know, the cringe ball question that you mentioned to Coco Gauff is, I suppose that happens probably a bit more in specifically women's tennis than in general, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. Like, in terms of the annoyance, the boredom of having to deal with these, and sometimes, you know, that's if the questions in good faith can seem incompetent or stupid, And then you're not even sure if they are always in good faith. In fact, you know that often they're not. And that is to say, people are trying to set you up or trap you into saying certain things or provoke a reaction from you. And this must be super annoying and tedious. And if I was a vastly wealthy tennis player, I would not want to subject myself to it either. My thought was that I just wish she hadn't put this under the umbrella of mental health. You know, because, you know, mental health is like a phrase which I think is kind of overused in the sense that it's become so baggy in what it refers to. You know, yeah. What I'm saying is, you know, everything from like serious mental illness, the sorts of stuff that would have been, you know, called insanity even in medieval times. You know what I mean? Or you know, when we words like old fashioned words like lunatic, you know, the kind of words, the kind of mental health problems that those words were called into being for. Everything down to kind of boredom and annoyance and irritation, which I kind of feel this to me seems more in the ballpark of. Now, you know, again, I'm sure there will be people listening to this who'll be like, how dare you speculate, you know, you don't know what the mental health struggle is. And I'm kind of like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, as the Roland Garros statement says, you know, they've tried to contact Naomi Osaka to ask about her well-being or whatever. I just sort of feel as though that phrase mental health is useful. I can remember a few weeks back when the gym owners were all talking about mental health because they wanted to open their gyms. You know what I mean? Like there's a bit of, I can totally understand her not wanting to do it, both because it's annoying and boring and, you know, it's stupid. And also, you know, there's another thing about it, which is the system. Like this, like listen to the Roland Garros statement. One of the things that they're having to do here, which they don't usually have to do because everybody just goes along with it, is try to justify why does our system work this way? Why, in fact, is it compulsory for players to attend press conferences? Like why should they have to do this?
Yep, that's a fair question.
Yeah, so they say in this, a core element of the Grand Slam regulations is the responsibility of the players to engage with the media, whatever the result of their match, a responsibility which players take for the benefit of the sport, the fans, and for themselves. These interactions allow both the players and the media to share their perspective and for the players to tell their story. The facilitation of media to a broad array of channels, both traditional and digital, is a major contributor to the development and growth of our sport and the fan base of individual players. Okay, so I mean, that's kind of all they have to say about it. Now, if you're Naomi Osaka, this doesn't actually make a lot of sense to you. Because Naomi Osaka is the best paid, if I'm not mistaken, the best paid female athlete in the world.
Yes.
With earnings last year, according to Forbes, of $55 million. And the interesting thing about that $55 million is that only $5 million of it was won on the court. So the other $50 million that she made, which is a phenomenal amount of money to make in 1 year, is essentially from media, or, you know, not from media in the sense that, you know, media companies are paying her. It's from sponsorship. It's because of her profile. It's because of what she represents in the world. Companies want to be associated with her, pay her for the privilege of being seen with her, of being seen to hang out with Naomi Osaka, right? She does not need these press conferences. In fact, from her point of view, why should she give away content for free to this room full of journalists, some of whom are there just to annoy her, some of whom don't even realize that they're annoying her with the idiotic questions they ask. But she's giving away content for free to them and to all these stuff shirts and blazers who run Roland Garros. And for, you know, when she could be selling it at great profit on her own channels. Why should she give it to these people for free when she could, you know, when she herself, she doesn't need these people. Like the middleman that they represent is completely unnecessary to her now. If this paragraph talks about these interactions allow both the players and media to share their perspective and the players to tell their story. Well, she doesn't need these journalists to
Instagram
tell her story at all.
Yeah.
She's absolutely, which has got bigger, you know, she's probably got more, I don't know how many followers on Instagram she has, but probably more than the circulation of all but a handful of newspapers in the world. And in fact, maybe more than any of them. Right, that's like easily feasible. So she, you know, this doesn't work for her. Now there is the argument, well, you know, okay, it's fine if you're Naomi Osaka, but what if you're like ex anonymous player? You're like, what are you going to do? And it's true. Those people aren't going to be skipping out of these types of situations, I suppose, because they want to attract a bit of attention, and also because they don't want to pay a $15,000 fine or whatever their fine would be. Probably Naomi Osaka's on the
higher end of the range. The press conference works for those people. The people who can't afford to skip the press conferences don't want to skip them anyway, because they're scrambling around for the sponsorship money that Naomi Osaka, you know, earns, you know, in a day. I mean, and again, I also have misgivings about this idea of, you know, mental health. I mean, doing something you don't want to do doesn't equate with endangering your mental health.
Not necessarily.
Exactly. And I think that it's a little woolly about whether it's her mental health or whether it's the press conference in general are bad for people's mental health. You know, it's not explicitly said that I have mental health struggles on the back of press conferences. That's certainly how I read it. And I mean, like, I have to say, I mean, I have loved Naomi Osaka. I think she's brilliant. And we've talked to Caitlin Thompson about her. I think she's done amazing work. I follow her on Instagram and Twitter. But I have to say that if you're on Instagram and Twitter, I don't think you get to say that. I mean, I can't think that being on Instagram and Twitter, those websites, are better for your mental health than journalists asking you questions after a routine first round win at the French Open. I mean, if we're about protecting one's mental health, I mean, literally the first thing I would say to anyone is get off Twitter and Instagram. It's probably,
well, you know, there's a lot of things like that. You know, I mean, just with, you know, the Buddha would say withdraw from the world. I tell you what else is bad for mental health: being a professional athlete. You know what I mean? That you're up against people who doubt you the whole time. I mean, I don't want to subject myself to be. But again, you know, we do live in a time where it is, what we're doing now is kind of taboo, in the sense that if somebody says these words, you're sort of meant to back off and say, I listen, I hear you, I respect you, and I'm giving you space. You know, I'm not going to question what you're saying. You know, when you tell me this, I believe you. You know, that's sort of like what you're sort of supposed to do. Skepticism about, like, well, really, is that what's going on here? Can seem like, oh, what are you? You're attacking her again, you know. And again, I don't want to just be like, oh, Naomi Osaka shouldn't do this, because, like, you know, here I'm a journalist, I'm part of this media.
Yeah, we're coming at it from a skewed viewpoint as well.
Not that we've got great access at the French Open. In fact, we've got none. This doesn't affect us at all, you know. But like, some of the media that's criticizing her, clearly it comes from a vested interest to say, well, get back in line. You know, what do you mean you're opting out of our system? But what I find more interesting is the way that, I mean, I'm from, like, my sort of upbringing. If I think of the biggest post-match interview probably of my entire life, I don't mean one that I conducted myself, but the most famous post-match interview that of our sort of sport watching lives, I mean, you and me, because Naomi Osaka, I don't believe was born when this happened. But what is it?
Kevin Keegan.
It's Kevin Keegan, right? Yeah. It's literally a guy having a meltdown, right? Having a meltdown on live television. Like, when I say having a meltdown, I better be more specific. I don't mean he was a nuclear plant, you know, whose reactor was what I mean is he had lost control of his, he'd lost his temper. You know, he was letting his emotions spill out in an uncontrolled way. He was jamming his finger. He clearly had sort of lost his composure. And the architect of his downfall was Alex Ferguson, a man who was celebrated for doing this, was celebrated for actually provoking Kevin Keegan into this public public outburst, for which Keegan was then ridiculed for years, and in fact has never sort of shaken. Ah, he cracked, didn't he? He cracked, yeah. Big Kev. You know, he was mocked from the terraces. You know, everyone laughing at him. It was clearly still haunting him when the England job came along years later. And Ferguson, this was called mind games, right? And it was regarded as like a managerial skill. And I do wonder if, looking back, say, you know, this process that we're now seeing whereby a top tennis player and a rich and powerful athlete can come out and say, well, this is actually bad for my mental health, or, you know, I'm a bit concerned about the mental health of athletes, being asked kind of annoying questions by journalists after games and being doubted by them and so on and so forth. If that process goes on a bit further, like, what's going to happen with Ferguson's reputation? Like, you know, it's going to have to be ploughed into the earth. I don't want to bring everything back to Alex Ferguson. Obviously, I haven't watched that documentary very recently. It's not like he's the most relevant figure in sports today. But maybe maybe that does condition to an extent my outlook on Naomi Osaka. I mean, to be honest, she says this, but I can also sort of divine other reasons why she might feel this way, which is to say, I don't need it. It doesn't do it for me. Commercially, it's an irrelevance. In fact, it may even hurt me commercially. Why am I doing this? Just to keep a bunch of vested interests happy. You know what I mean? I can totally see it from that point of view. She's kind of gone down another route of, well, mental health. And I'm sort of like, okay, you know, I can't remember this being made an issue before, but maybe, you know, in terms of who's done this before. And it just strikes me that a lot of the stuff I've grown up watching has involved literally this, like people's mental health being used as like amphitheater, like Coliseum entertainment. It's like, you know, that this is like, this has actually been a part of the spectacle, watching people disintegrate and crumble. You know what I mean? And that this may now, if these trends sort of continue, this may be regarded as like abuse. You know what I mean? This was actually abuse we were all sort of participating in, or we were bystanders to this. And why didn't anyone say anything when this violence was being enacted, you know, against people like Kevin Keegan? You know, I do wonder if that's where we're going. Maybe they'll be tearing down that Fergie statue. You know, it's too much more of this. They'll be pulling that thing down like Saddam.
The French Open deleted a tweet from last night which showed pictures of a couple of players engaging with the media along with the caption, "They understood the assignment." Osaka later wrote on Twitter, "Anger is a lack of understanding. Change makes people uncomfortable." So this story isn't going anywhere. She's in action again on Wednesday against Anna Bogdan in the second round of the French Open. Coming up later this week on the World Service, on the other hand, we've got a brilliant edition of the I'll Tell You Who Wrote It Second Captain's Book Club with Arsenal super fan Jack McCaffrey on Nick Hornby's seminal football book, Fever Pitch. Here he is explaining just why he became an Arsenal fan.
And the people who are really to blame for this is the second captains, because when I started working in Drogheda, I remember, I think I texted you at some point, driving home after a night shift in Drogheda, and I was listening to one of the football shows, Ken, and you were talking about Arsenal had beaten United, I think, or something the day before, and your line was like, and of course the next logical thing for me to talk about would be Arsenal's result. But I won't. I'm going to talk about
Brendan Rodgers.
No, yeah, you didn't even talk about foot. I was about 10 minutes away from my house. Like, perfect. The Arsenal result. Get me home, in the door, cup of tea, bed. And you were like, you end on some outrageous spiel about what a virus is and whether it's a life form or not. And I just was furious. So anyway, listening to the Second Captain's podcast got me up to speed with what was going on in the world of soccer. And then I've never looked back.
Yeah, all that has the ring of truth about it. All right, great chat coming up with him on the World Service tomorrow. Don't forget, it's the start of a new month tomorrow as well. June has got the GAA Championships, golf majors, tennis grand slams, and the Euros are coming.
Talk us through that, Steve. I think we know what's happened, but talk us through it.
Robbie Brady against Hugo Lloris.
Is back to the edge of the penalty area.
Into the penalty area.
The only thing that they have got is the big boy up front, Sigurdsson, who really, Sigurdsson.
You're talking about finals.
Final.
You know what I'm talking about.
I'm Declan Rice.
I'm Jack Grealish.
Oh, my word. Oh.
They're all pampered. They're all just headphones.
Oh, just saying. Sigurdsson.
That's all ahead of us in the next month, so why don't you think about joining us? Go to secondcaptains.com/join. It's a fiver a month plus VAT. No contract, no cancellation fee. You decide when you join up and when you leave. We'd love to have you. This job is never more fun than when there's a football tournament on. Thanks a million, Ken.
Thank you very much as well, Kieran.
Thanks a million for listening, and we'll chat to you tomorrow.
Well, what's next for you? What's next for Hathaway?
Right now, myself and Dr. Alban, we've got a track on the market called I Love the 90s. It's doing very well in Scandinavia.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, they never go home, they never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all.
It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.